Again, I say good morning to everyone. It is good to see you all here this morning. I'm so happy to see all of you came this morning to hear the word of God. Because I know you ain't come here just to hear me. Thank you, thank you. Got one. My lesson this morning, hopefully, will encourage you. Before I get started, as always, let me go to God in prayer to give me some strength so that we can all get something out of this message. Oh, Lord, I stand before you at this time this morning. I come to you as humbly as I can, asking that you will speak through me as well as to me. And everyone under the sound of my voice, those who may be on live stream and those that are present, help us, Lord, to draw from this message what you will help us to get, to use, to feed off of, to give us strength in our everyday walk. Help us, Lord, to do your will, that we may continue to spread your word to those who don't know you, to be an example wherever we may be at, whatever circumstance we may be under. We thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings that you bestow upon us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Tom asked me what is the title of my lesson this morning, and I said, watch. Because that's what was in the scripture that I read earlier. Watch. It is our duty to watch and to pray because we don't know at what time that the Lord will come back for us. And we don't want to be left wanting or in a state of confusion. Our spirit be at unrest when he comes. We want to be ready to go with him. And we don't know what day or whatever day he comes. My topic of watch, I want to draw from that word to give us a little something that we could look at, that we could focus on those letters in the word watch, to base what we can use to watch. Sort of like you have all heard that song. Sometimes you may have heard it, most especially around Mother's Day, the word M-O-T-H-E-R and what each letter stands for. Well, we're going to look at that in this word watch to put some words to it that we can look at to go with that will help us to know what we can watch and what way we can watch in that will help us also in our watch and in our prayer that we'll be ready when the Lord comes. The first letter in the word watch is a W. And that could go with words. Words are most commonly used each and every day. You know, we, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about words that you could say and how you say them to people and how what kind of effect it would have on people. When I was younger, we used to have that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I found that not to be so true. Because even as a child, words can hurt. They can really hurt as a child, and they can hurt as an adult. Words that you can say about someone else, whether you know them or you don't know them. Words that you can use to spread gossip and talk about people, whether you like them or you don't like them, and especially words that you hear other people say, whether you know it's true or not, you spreading those words, it could damage people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it goes, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use for edifying, that it may administer grace unto the hearers. We should not be just saying anything and everything out of our mouth because we are a different people. We're supposed to be set aside from the world. We're supposed to be an example to the world. And if we go along to get along and copy what the world does, then we are not setting the example of Christ. If we curve our words and think a little bit about what we say sometimes, I mean, everybody loves a good joke, but it's clean jokes and it's some dirty jokes. If you want to tell a joke, you want to lighten the mood, tell a joke. But you don't have to use nasty words, bad words. It's not becoming of a Christian. Our conversation should be of such a nature that it will build up those who hear it. Solomon was a wise man. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, he wrote, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." I think I remember hearing something about, or I read it somewhere, I can't remember now exactly where I got it from, but the essence was that it was a man that was going to die, and he was going to die after he said so many words. So everything he said from that point on was very important. He didn't have no time to be telling no jokes. He didn't have no time to be saying anything unworthy. What he said with the number of words he had left was very important to him, because after that time, he wasn't going to have life anymore. Now, I'm not saying you have to think that you're going to die after a certain number of words, which we're all going to die, but if we concentrate on what words we use and how we use them to the people we use them with, or about, it would help us in our watch to keep ourselves pure for the day in which the Lord comes back to us. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Words are powerful things. They should be handled carefully. They have the power of life and death in them. Now in Psalms chapter 19, we find at the close of the verse, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, your words, we talked a little bit about in Sunday school this morning, being in a situation, different situations, how your words can change the outcome of that situation. If you picture a person that could be minding their own business or not being aware of someone else, someone else has ill feelings and they come up to them, approach them, and they are spouting out negative words, nasty words, vulgar words. Or it could happen to you. Someone approaches you, coming at you like that, spouting out words. Your reaction and what your words that come from you could change that whole situation. If you sprout the same words or similar words back to them, not only are you disgracing yourself, but you are bringing down the name of Christ. And you are adding fuel to the fire. But if you calmly use words to try to diffuse the situation, to try to be calm about it. Even though the words may be hurting you inside, it could change the outcome of the whole situation. It could keep it from escalating to a situation of blows being thrown, or even worse, someone getting terribly wounded. That's just an example of what words could do. And many times we don't think about words until after the fact. That's the first letter, W. A second letter to look at is A, is our actions. Everything we do has an effect. Our actions are very important because, as the saying goes, your action speaks louder than your words. Someone can talk about you and say that you are this, you are that, you are the scum of the earth. But when someone else looks at you and they don't see you carrying yourself that way, your actions are different than what someone else has betrayed you to be, it will cause them to pause and look and say, wait a minute, man, I was told this person is this, that, and the other, but they don't act like that. I can't treat them that way because this person said it. I got to treat them the way I see it. Sometimes people will take what someone else say about you, and they will treat you that way because of what someone else said. Back to the words again. But still, your actions will really show who you are. The person that you don't see that's watching you from afar is the person you have the most effect on. Whether it be your neighbor down the street, your little nephew's friend that's not even related to you at all, or it could be your coworker that you never even noticed before. You don't have to go around and tell someone, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I go to church every day, every Sunday I go to this church and we do this, we do that. By your actions, people will tell what kind of person you are. Whether you are living the life of a Christian or trying your best to, or whether you're just like somebody that they don't particularly want to be around. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Timothy says, it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, but Paul writes to Timothy and tells him this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He's telling him how he should act wherever he is, no matter what, regardless of how a person sees him, because he's a young person, he should still carry himself in a manner that people will respect him. In that very next chapter, he tells him also that he should approach an elder, how he should approach an elder and treat him as a father, treat young men as brethren, treat older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, and at all times act in a manner of purity. I think that's a good advice for all of us, because wherever you may go, there's always going to be somebody older than you and somebody younger than you, and you may come in contact with male and female. But because of the way that you treat people will determine what they perceive you to be. The third letter in the word watch is the T. we apply that to thoughts. We discussed that also in our Sunday school lesson this morning about the thoughts that we should have, that we should try to carry in us each and every day. That's about the hardest thing we have to watch is our thoughts. It's so easy to be misled and carried off with your thoughts, because sometimes you can have thoughts. Your thoughts is not what people see, but you still have those thoughts in you. But if you harbor those thoughts long enough, it will manifest itself. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, if we pattern our lives to think on things that is good, wholesome, of good report, those that are lovely, trying to be honest, trying to be true, how do you think people will see you? As someone they would like to be around? Or someone that they say, "Oh Lord, here he come again," or "here she come again"? How would you represent Christ if you have those things in your thoughts? You possess those characteristics. Do you think someone would think that you are a follower of Christ? Or you just somebody that goes to church? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Whatever you think is going to eventually, like I said, it's going to surface. You can hide your thoughts for only so long, but the truth will come out. At some point or another, someone is going to see exactly what you're thinking. The next letter, after the T, is C. We apply that to the word character. As I've before stated about someone telling about you or saying things about you or describing you, and how you go about acting is your character. People will see your real character. A lot of people are more interested in their reputation than their character. But a reputation is what men and women say about us. Character is what God and the angels know about us. Amen. Now, as I said, your action speaks louder than words. So just because you help an old lady cross the street today, don't mean that's your character. But if people see you all the time doing that, then they say, "Oh, that's a nice person. You're always helping somebody, helping this lady cross the street, helping somebody do this." They go out of their way. And no matter what someone says about you, other people won't believe it. Matter of fact, they will spread the word their own self about your character. Because, like I said, if your character is if your character betrays you in a way in which someone says, "Oh Lord, here they come again," then they're going to tell that, and it's going to spread. Someone else sees you, and they're going to say, "Yep, that's right, he just like that. He just sure told the truth about them." And in turn, they're going to tell somebody else. And before you know it, it'll be like you parting the Red Sea. Every time you come, somebody will be going the other way. But That's not the way you want to be, and that's not portraying Christ. We have in John, 3 John chapter 2, some words about Gaius. He is considered beloved by people. Not that he loves people, but the people loved him. That's why he was beloved, because of his character. The type of person that he was, what he did, his actions spoke out for him. He didn't have to go around and tell people, I give to the poor. I go to church all the time. I try to help who I can. When your character speaks for you, you don't have to worry about nothing else. The last letter in the word watch is H. That has to do with our heart. Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king over Israel. And Jesse had many sons. Eliab passed before Samuel, and Samuel thought surely that this was the Lord's anointed. Samuel was looking at his physique, his person. He seemed to be a tall, sturdy young man. He was looking at his appearance. Many times we judge people by their appearance, and we could be so far from the truth of what's on the inside. And that's what the Lord looks at, the heart. What's in your heart? For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you value? As we studied this morning in Sunday school again, you value your riches. You're not going to be able to take it with you. Or do you value where you're going to spend eternity? Most importantly, where our heart is where our treasure is. Where you think about the most. A lot of people. And it's a good thing to think about them and be concerned. A lot of people's heart is with their children. And in the end, their children cause them so much heartache because they did not take the time to spend to raise them the way God wanted us to raise our children. Our heart can be so easily turned around sometimes if we don't stay focused. But we have to be mindful and keep God first in everything that we do. In James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We have to stay focused on what is important. Now, those are just a few examples of some things that we can watch out for. Some very easy things to remember. Your words, your actions, your thoughts, your character, and your heart. Now, in the latter part of chapter 13, Jesus gives that parable of the master leaving the house. And we are in the same situation. We are expecting his return. And Jesus tells us to watch and to pray so that we be ready when he returns. We don't know when he's going to return. And this life that we live today, it's just like a long night compared to what life will be like when we get on the other side. It will be an everlasting day. But in this night, we don't know whether Christ is going to come at eve or in the morning, early in our youth, or is he going to come midday, when we are middle-aged, or will he come before the rooster crow, when we're in our old age? But he will come. And we will have to give an account for what we do. We want to stand before Christ and be blameless so that we won't be condemned for the life in which we have led. We have the opportunity on this time side to live the way that he wants us to live. We also have instruction from our Bible. And grant you, no one is perfect. That's why he gives us an opportunity to repent and to come before him and to earnestly say that we are sorry and to pray and ask for forgiveness. But we also have instruction as what we're supposed to do. And again, as we have studied in our lesson of Proverbs, to know what we're supposed to do and don't do it is foolish. So as we go on our earthly walk, our Christian walk, try to be mindful, to continue to watch and to pray, so we'll be worthy when our time comes before judgment. This is my lesson. I hope it is beneficial to you. May God bless you.